Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Creative Differences Podcast, your one-stop shop for movie reviews, Throwback Thursdays, Fancast Fridays, and a number of other pop culture-related items. My name is Dallas, and I did not expect to see Spider-Man stripping and showing feet in a Marvel movie, but here we are.
I'm Cassie, and from what I understand, this is the movie where it's like, no one knows I'm Spider-Man. I got to figure my shit out. He got to make money somehow.
Exactly. Exactly.
Respect the hustle.
Sometimes you got to show feet. But not in racial chat rooms. You don't want to pull a Doja Cat. You're looking at me like you don't remember that.
No, I don't.
Oh, man. It's crazy. But that's pretty much the whole story. She in racial chat room showing feet.
What is a racial chat room?
I don't know why I didn't expect this to be how this started. But the rumor, was that Doja Cat was in, like, the best way to describe it would be, like, web chats with, like, kind of alt-righty type people showing feet. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
allegedly, maybe.
If it's a grift, that's fine.
Maybe.
Take their money. They don't deserve it.
That's fair. They're going to use it for something bad. Mm-hmm. Might as well use it for some toes. Let's get away from that. I think this will probably be the fastest that Demi has listened to our episode and been disappointed in us.
Yep. This is what happens when she leaves.
It's less than 2 minutes in, y'all talking about feet and racial chat rooms. But she'll remember. I've talked about it on the podcast before. Anyway, Gabby and Demi are not here. Gabby said, if the MCU Spider-Man movies are still not going to give her her 19 inches of venom, then she's going to stop supporting them. So she stormed off.
I got her back.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. And Demi said, and I quote, they can't get me if I'm in international waters. And we haven't seen her since. So yep. Good luck to Demi. I don't know what you're doing out there. Anyway, today we're talking about Spider-Man, Brand New Day. It is the newest Spider-Man movie, obviously. All right, before we get into it, please hit like and hit share and hit subscribe and do whatever it is you do or you don't usually do, but please do it this time. Because if we start getting more engagement, then maybe Gabby and Demi will love us again and they will come home.
We can hope.
That's all I really want. That's all I'm hoping for. But yeah, Brand New Day. I'm so excited. All right, Brand New Day is directed by Destin Daniel Cretton. He made Just Mercy. He made Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings. And he made Wonder Man, the TV show that just got canceled because Marvel reneged like some reniggers that they are. And was like, hey,
after
Wonder Man season two. Yeah, exactly. Reneging.
That's, don't do that.
Yeah. They were like, hey, yeah, Wonder Man season two, we got you. We got you. And then they're like, nah.
Don't tell people they're going to have jobs and then yank that away from them.
Marvel. Anyway, it's written by Chris McKenna and Eric Summers. They are a writing duo who wrote the other three Tom Holland movies, Spider-Man movies. They also wrote Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle, and they wrote the Lego Batman movie.
Okay.
Crazy. Three of those movies all came out in 2017, so they were having a year. Happy for them. Movie stars, a bunch of people, because of course it does. Tom Holland, Zendaya, Sadie Sink, Jacob Batalon, John Bernthal, Florence Pugh, Tremell Tillman, Marissa Tomei, Mark Ruffalo, and the always amazing Liza Colon Zayas, who was not listed on the Wikipedia cast list part for some reason. You know, a little part in the side box. I don't know. There's a lot of names. But I put her on there because we can't leave her off. She's great. And the IMDb summary is, a forgotten Peter Parker lives alone as a full-time Spider-Man until mounting pressure triggers a dangerous change and a powerful new enemy emerges. A.K.A. Spider-Man is sad. That's the movie. Spider-Man is sad.
You know what? Shout out to second puberty representation. We out here.
Honestly? Great description. Great description. All right, so gonna go ahead and ask you for the people. Did you see the movie?
No.
Yeah.
I read the Wikipedia plot summary.
Okay, so you got an idea.
Yeah.
I love this movie. This movie is fire. Mm-hmm. This movie is what I wanted. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everyone involved. I was, you know, giving y'all trouble for being re-niggas because y'all shouldn't do that. But on the other hand, you gave me this. So you know what? Right now, you're all right with me. That's so good. So I have like one gripe that I'm going to get out the way. And then I'm just going to
hit a nigga with a gripe.
Talk about. Yeah. Hit a nigga with gripe. So the movie's 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. That's not the gripe. I'm used to that with my comic books and blah, blah, blah. But after a certain point, it feels long because something happens in the story that feels like it would be an ending to a movie.
Oh, okay.
I knew it wouldn't be the ending to this movie because there was clearly something that hadn't been tied up yet.
Mm-hmm.
But they give you this kind of like denouement feeling.
Oh.
Oh, look, we did the thing and now we're hanging out. And I guess the way that people make movies and structure them, because everybody's like, oh, read this book and do that, and tell the story. We've been conditioned to like hit certain beats in our movies and they make us think certain things. So I was like, oh, yeah, what a nice place we're at. And then the thing that wasn't tied up, obviously, comes back and it's like, oh, right, we're not done. So after that point, it just feels longer.
Mm.
But it wasn't like I wasn't enjoying it anymore. It's just a thing that happens with some movies, like when you're watching The Batman. Did you watch The Batman? Mm-hmm. Pattinson?
Both times.
Okay, yeah. So like he catches Riddler
mm-hmm.
and it's like, oh, snap, he caught the guy. He's been trying to catch yep. the whole movie. And it's like, but wait, there's more. It's like, okay.
Ave Maria,
makes
bitch.
Sense that it. You're right. It's like, okay, yeah, we're not done. That's fair. But it does feel long. And that yeah, movie is
that
longer.
That movie does feel long.
So you feel the runtime more in that.
Mm.
And then there's a, can't remember which Lord of the Rings it is, but there's one of them that has like five endings. And I was talking to Kayla about this. Sorry, we're going on a tangent. I saw Lord of the Rings as a kid. I don't remember which one it is. I know it's not the first one, but whichever one it was the first one I saw because my uncle just decided, hey, we're going to go watch Lord of the Rings 2 or 3, even though y'all haven't seen the other ones.
Okay.
So I'm watching it, and I don't know really what's going on, and it's long.
Yeah.
And then the movie ends, and I'm like, cool, let's go home. And then it doesn't end, and I'm like, wait, I thought we were done. And then it does that like three or four more times. I was like, what's happening? What's happening? I'm 11. I want to go home and watch Men in Black. Anyway, that little story structure aside, everything else about this movie, I love. The story is fire. The acting is fire. The visuals is fire. Performances, I said that already, acting. Music, Michael Giacchino, he don't never miss. Yeah, it's just so good. As a nerd, as a Spider-Man fan, as me, it feels like comic book in the best of ways because the MCU is, you know, it's a big world that mostly takes place in New York for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's full of characters. And they use these characters in ways that feel natural to this story. A lot of times, you know, we're in a place where movies come out and lots of things are shared universes now. So they'll throw something at you like, hey, remember this?
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
It's from that
mm-hmm.
other thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a world. Like, if you're reading Marvel Comics, if you're reading a Spider-Man comic book and he needs to go talk to someone who is a scientist, chances are it's going to be Bruce Banner or Reed Richards or Tony Stark, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times with comic book movies, you'll just see just the character that is the focus of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be like, I know there's eight other Avengers in a 3-block radius because all y'all need to live in New York. Like, this one, it actually feels like that world of, yeah, weird spider stuff is happening to me. I should see a scientist. Who's another scientist based in New York? Bruce Banner. Makes sense. It's not just, hey, guys, remember Bruce Banner? He's in movies. He's here. It's like, no, he's doing what he would be doing. He's a scientist teaching at a college.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, there's some shadiness going on. I need to go talk to someone who has ties to shady situations in this universe and show them my feet. I don't know. That was a choice. That was an artistic choice of the movie. It was funny. But yeah, it feels lived in. It feels real and filled out and fleshed out in a good way. I love that. Tom Holland continues to kill it. I very much love that we've kind of seen him mature with the character. Like, Homecoming came out a decade ago. It came out in 2017. Goodness gracious. Yeah, he was happy high school Peter, and now he's sad, I'm alone, broke Peter. Y'all see Spider-Man movies. Y'all see Tobey Maguire be broke in that apartment.
Yeah.
You know what Spider-Man's about. It's pizza time. to answer an off-mic question I got from Cassie, he does not deliver pizzas in this movie, so if that's what you were looking for, I'm sorry.
Waste of a movie, honestly. First three, I get it. Right? He's got a lot going on. Right. He's in school. Now it's, I'm broke as a joke. No one knows I'm Spider-Man. You got to make games to me. Come on.
But yeah, he's great. He gets to play Spider-Man in this, take it to like a darker place again, because the last movie also got pretty dark. But it's cool to see the character progress over this time. And speaking of progressing over time, we're having a bit of a full circle moment here because we started this podcast check my notes, 7 years ago with Spider-Man Far From Home.
Crazy.
7 years. Crazy.
Where's the audience?
And here we are. Boom. 7 years later, brand new day. We love to see it. Y'all still ain't subscribing. I'm just kidding. Kind of. But yeah, Tom Holland's great. Zendaya is great. Zendaya's an interesting case for me because as crazy as it sounds, I haven't actually seen a lot of her work, sure. Even though she's in, like, it feels like a dozen movies in any, like, 3 year span.
How many of those things appeal to you? I don't see a trailer for The Drama and think, exactly. Dallas. I don't see a trailer for Euphoria and think, Dallas. Like, I get it. I don't see a trailer for Dune and think, Dallas.
Exactly. So, for me, this is one of her better performances that I've seen. Like, I already know she can act. She gets to, obviously, there's, like, spoilery stuff I can't talk about. But for reasons that are spoiler redacted, she gets to play kind of a different way for at least a scene. And I was like, ooh, okay, Zendaya, you're doing your thing. But, like, yeah, I haven't seen her ride Alaskan bullworms in Dune. And I haven't seen her do drugs in Euphoria. And I didn't see her.
Movie where she made whack-ass mac and cheese for her husband? Or was that a different?
Yes.
Did you see that
I didn't
one?
See that either, but yes, okay. Malcolm and Marie, that was her. I didn't see her get tag teamed in that Mario Tennis movie or whatever she did a few years ago. So,
God, if it had been Mario Tennis, I would have watched it. That's crazy.
It wasn't Mario and Luigi.
You could have just made it Mario, Luigi, and Peach, and it would have made perfect sense. Nintendo.
Honestly, I want that movie. Anyway, she's great. She's always great. Sadie Sink, fantastic. I don't know if I've seen her in anything outside of Stranger Things, but I already knew from that she was a great actress, and it's good to see. Good to see again. Also, obviously not going to tell you the character that she's playing. You've seen the theories online. You may have seen the movie already, but she's playing a version of that character that feels very different, and I like that.
Okay.
Because being a Marvel fan, you start to see a lot of different versions of certain characters, and sometimes there's a lot of, you know, there are notes that they have to hit. Like, this character does this, and this is part of their story.
You have certain expectations of, like, I want to see this happen. Exactly. I want to see them say this. I want to see them react to this in this way. Yeah.
So, seeing the way that they did this character, I was thinking, oh, okay, I like it.
All right.
Shout out to Sadie Sink. Like I said, Liza Colon Zayas, fantastic. She's always fantastic. We love her. That's Tina from The Bear, for anyone who doesn't know. Yeah, just want to see her in more stuff. Shout out to her. John Bernthal, I didn't expect to get as much of him as I did in this movie. I thought Punisher was going to show up and be like, ah, look, Punisher's here. Ah. But no, they use him very well. And I've recently found out about this kind of, like, sweet big brother, little brother relationship that Tom and John have in real life. Yeah, apparently they worked together like a decade ago when Tom was younger.
Okay.
And they've kind of always looked at each other like, oh, I got your back, I got your back. And obviously, Frank Castle is a jerk. We get a lot of that in this movie, but you get this kind of dynamic of caring for each other that does feel like you can see a lot of the real life relationship shine through. Which, great to have a married couple playing against each other in a movie because Tom and Zendaya have this obvious chemistry.
Sorry, that.
Not John Bernthal. We're going back.
You needed more of it.
We're going back.
It's like, I don't think that's too Tom married, but hey, good for them.
Yeah, I was going to pass that. As I was saying, I was like, I didn't really transition back to talking about Zendaya, but hey, you know, you'll get it from context, or you won't. You'll think that Tom married that middle-aged man. He didn't. But anyway. Fantastic performances, fantastic story. Like I said, Michael Giacchino, he don't miss with the score. Mm-hmm. Gets you in your feelings. And Destin Daniel Cretton, that boy know how to make some action. Obviously, he made Shang-Chi, We're Gonna Run Fades, the movie. And when you bring that action style into Spider-Man, did the movie need ninjas? No, but who cares? We got the guy who made Shang-Chi. I want to see Spider-Man fight some ninjas. The rule of cool applies. And that is one of the coolest looking action scenes in the movie. Yeah, I'm happy that the ninjas are here. And in fairness, these aren't just random ninjas. Like, these are characters that have been established in this universe through other properties. And we get a reason for them being here. It's like, oh, remember when we got the hand? Yeah, they're here. They're doing this now. Okay, cool. It wasn't just like Spider-Man's walking through the city and then ninjas.
I mean, they out here bullying. You never know.
They out here. Flamed up. But yeah, it's just feels great. Feels like a comic book. Is fun, but also sad when it needs to be. Jacob Batalon is great as Ned. Kramel Tillman, always happy to see him. That man is going to work for a shady corporation and look good doing it. That is his whole career, from what I've understood, because I've been Severance. He was in the last Mission Impossible for like 4 minutes and stole the show completely. You need a dude to come in, look fly, and steal a scene. Get Tramiel Tillman. I love it.
Hi.
Yeah, that's Spider-Man. I could talk about this for an hour, but I don't want to do that, and y'all don't want to hear that. So pretty much, I love this movie. In terms of like, would I recommend it? Look, this is the fourth one of these Spider-Man movies and the 38th MCU movie. You know by now if you want to see it.
Yeah, I can really only think of like one MCU movie that I would say, okay, even if you don't like the MCU or don't give a shit. But Spider-Man is not one of those, I feel like. Spider-Man is like a you know.
Especially the freaking fourth one.
Right.
Like, not going to be where you come in. But yeah, chances are you already know if you want to see it. And if that's the case, you probably have already. So you don't really need my recommendation on if you should or should not see it. You know what you're about. Follow your heart. But yeah, for those of us who like this kind of stuff, fantastic. I'm so happy for all of us. Love to everyone involved.
Was Destin Daniel Cretton, was he going to direct the Kang movies before that died because Jonathan Majors is a villain?
That sounds vaguely familiar, but if we're being honest, I lose track of all this stuff so much. I can't even...
Can't blame you.
I can't keep up.
Like, Marvel loses track. We were just talking off mic about characters who show up once and don't show up again.
Right? Where's Hercules? Where's Star Fox? Who is Star Fox? Who the hell was that? Why is it the dude from One Direction? Oh, also, something I wanted to say to you. So you read the summary.
Yes.
I saw a Letterboxd review from a YouTuber I follow. Shout out Johnny Tuchelos. You're not listening to this. But it said something about, like, there's a term in this movie that they use repeatedly that's going to mean something to Pokemon fans.
Okay.
So what does VMAX mean?
Oh, God. Okay. It doesn't mean anything to me because it is a Pokemon card term, I believe.
Oh, that. Okay. I see. So I put up the Letterboxd review. It says really going to distract Pokemon TCG enthusiasts. And I just now realized what TCG means because I was like, is that one of the Pokemon
games? Yeah, so VMAX is Pokemon cards. The games have Gigantamax, but that's different.
Okay.
Which actually, how to ask this. Does VMAX hit the way that I think it's intended to? Because when I was reading that summary, I was like, that feels kind of stupid, but maybe in the movie it works.
So, yes, I'm thinking about if I didn't see the movie and saw, if I read the reveal described to me, I would think that sounds silly. But yes, given context and how it happens, it does hit. Ooh. Yes, it is quite upsetting.
I'll get them Pokemon cards. That's actually the plot of this movie, is just Spider-Man trying to get Pokemon cards. You know people out here fiending.
Yeah, the actual plot of the movie is Peter Parker is trying to get a Charizard and Sadie Sink is trying to get the same Charizard, and then they fight about it.
You think she's, I don't know, taking over people's minds, whatever, for nefarious purposes? It's just to get different Pokemon cards, different parts of the city.
Yeah, she takes over somebody's mind, she scans for what Pokemon cards they have, and then she's like, ah, you ain't got the Charizard, moves to another person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's 2.5 hours of that. So, yes, I've talked about Spider-Man a lot. Also added a little something for Pokemon fans out there. You're welcome. And Demi, just so you know, I won't be doing a What You Watching. So even though I went a little long, you're going to get that time back. Please don't yell at me. All right.
She doesn't have the right to yell at you. She abandoned you.
Wow. You're right.
I'm going to say it.
anyway, 10-minute take time.
Yep.
What do we got?
So I love when a 10-minute take is almost the entire thing, but not quite. And this is one of those where the episode is 15 minutes long. I don't watch 10 minutes, and it's great. I watched 10 minutes of the first episode of Secret Level, which is Amazon's video game-inspired, like they wanted to make Love, Death, and Robots, but for video game world specifically.
Yeah, pretty much that.
Kind of thing. Yeah. And the first episode is, I guess, the D&D one. Which I don't know that you would know that if you didn't know that, but that's fine.
I don't know if I know that.
See, that's my thing. You don't necessarily, like, from the 10 minutes I watched, you would not know it if you didn't know it. It would just be generic fantasy.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
Like, the episode title is, like, Dungeons and Dragons, some. But if I didn't know that, I wouldn't know that.
Fair. I also watched this like 2 years ago, so I don't remember a whole lot about the show.
I mean, it's the first episode's about this kid who's possessed with something. We don't know what. He's got some literal inner demon. And this party of adventurers who finds him and saves him. And like, hey, we're going to take you to go see this dragon. And he can, like, fix you, maybe? I don't know. And they go, okay. And they take him to, and he's like, no, don't, because I'm evil. I got the evil in me. Don't do it. Blah, blah, blah. Get away from me. You know, that basic ass shit. And they're like, nah, we taking you to that dragon, nigga. And so they go to where the dragon is. And then this cult who had the kid captured comes to try to kill them. They do some fighting. Kid sees the dragon. Dragon says, oh, hey, it's because you're nice, you're worthy of freedom or some bullshit. I don't know, whatever, fuck. And I think the last thing I saw was someone turning one of the bad guys into a snail, which is great, except why'd you wait so long to do it, nigga? He was there for like 10 minutes, and you didn't do it until he was about to kill your friend? You had polymorph the entire time, and you didn't? That's crazy. Yeah, it was something. I think I've come to realize I don't love Blur's style.
The animation studio?
Yeah, they do like hyper realistic, and there's just something about it that I don't like. It almost feels like,
okay,
why do it in animation if you're going to make it look as real as possible? And this is not their fault. It's just the way that it happens to look. It reminds me of like that sort of glossy look that a lot of AI animation has. And that's not Blur's fault, right? Because they were doing their thing before the AI stuff started. But I don't know. It's not really my thing, but it works. You want to see that kid sweating and look like a kid sweating. Congratulations, you got it. I don't know.
Fair. I like a lot of the Blur stuff I have seen. Like, they did a lot of Love, Death, and Robots. Tim Miller's one of the founders.
The thing.
Love, Death, and Robots. So it makes sense that there'd be there so much. So, not a fan, sounds like, of the first 10 minutes.
I mean, it was fine. It was just, it was a generic fantasy thing. Yeah. And when I saw that there were 5 minutes left, I'm like, Iggy, so I guess you could purify the kid and that's it. But it doesn't, it's like, it wasn't enough to make me interested in like, ooh, I would like to see more of this down the road. And I know it's an anthology, so I know they're not going to come back to it. So I'm like, what was this about? What was this about?
Mm. Yeah.
I don't know. It was weird. Feels like a weird, we want to capitalize on video games, but don't really know how to do it.
Maybe. It kind of seems like a fair amount of what the show is.
Yep.
Especially the one that I think is later on this episode, I think is just like a PlayStation ad.
Great.
But I don't know. It's been
PlayStation makes their own ads. They don't need that.
I don't know, girl. I don't know what they're doing.
I'm just saying, PlayStation does, you've seen PlayStation ads, I'm sure. I had the one with the baby for a while. It was fucking weird. PS3 era.
Yeah.
Didn't need it.
Didn't need that.
Anyway, yeah. That's my 10-minute take. Secret Level is weird, and I don't think I'll be watching more of it.
I will say, which is the nature of anthologies.
Yep.
I think the way I described it on Serialized is like a lot of mid, but some heat here and there.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if they do have anything on that episode list that you're like, oh, okay, I'd like to see a story in that world, I would say check it out. The Pac-Man one is super weird. Like, I kind of want to recommend that to you just because it's so bizarre, the choice that they made. Like, you told me you're doing Pac-Man and this is how you decided to do it. Why? But also, you're into that weird stuff.
Depending on what kind of weird.
Yeah, not general, like, not all weird, but sometimes I see something that's weird and I'm like, I want Cassie to have seen this. I don't know if she'll like it or not, but this is something I feel like she needs to experience.
Hi.
Yeah, that was wild. I said, like, what are we doing? Why is this Pac-Man? Anyway, that's your 10-minute take on Secret Level. Now, I already said, I'm not doing what you're watching, and I am not a re-nigga like Marvel, so I'm going to stick to my word. But Cassie, you do have a what you're watching.
I do. So. I could technically have two of them, but I feel like one of them takes precedence in the fact that while we've talked about it before, it never fails to be weird. So last night I rewatched Ma.
Oh yes. I can't wait to talk about this with you.
I had seen it before. I don't know if my boyfriend had. I don't think so. And so I was showing it to him. Backstory. I have a coworker who started around the same time I did. And so every week we get together for like an hour and just talk about whatever. And she's a horror scholar, so we talk about horror a lot.
Oh, cool.
And I don't know how I brought Ma up this past week, but I did. And I was like, I should watch it again. She was like, absolutely not. But of course, then I had to. And that, what a cinematic masterpiece.
Oh my God. I really, really dislike that movie.
No, I know. It's really interesting watching it again because Octavia Spencer gives what is legitimately a fantastic performance.
She's great.
Like, there is no...
She kills it.
She's so good at everything she has to do, the subtle shifts in expression and tone, and she's fantastic. But what she does is just a little too wild for it to work.
At every turn.
The first, like, three-fourths of the movie, I'm kind of okay with it. You understand what she's doing. She wants to reclaim a youth she didn't get to have, which already is weird. We're not saying it's not, but you know that was right. What she's doing. But once she starts doing things, it goes off the fucking rails. Run this woman over, fine. Okay, you hated this woman as a kid. She made five, whatever, fine. Why do you have her in a cage in a kennel, but then we never come back to that? Why was she there? I don't know. Is it because she's a bitch?
Could be. Not what she calls her when she runs her over. She uses the C word instead.
Right. But, so that doesn't really connect.
That's a choice.
Because if you want a dog metaphor, she makes that much more explicitly later with a different person.
In a completely insane way. Points for creativity. Because I ain't never seen that in a horror movie.
Yes, I have never seen that. It blows me away every time.
I don't even know. I don't know who the person to ask is. Do veterinary offices have dog blood like that?
I suppose if they did surgeries, they might need transfusions.
Maybe. I don't know.
Like, I don't see why you would have, like, if you wanted to, like, test the dog's blood for something, you wouldn't need an IV full. So I don't know. Because it's labeled, right? Which makes it seem like, oh, we took a ton of blood from him for whatever reason, which I would think testing, and then you don't need that much. But I don't know. They had it because they needed to have it.
The movie raises so many questions. And
it does.
I went back. When you said Ma, I was like, I got to find my Letterboxd review for this movie.
Yeah.
And see what I said at the time. So I said, those kids should have listened to their one black friend.
Yep.
Because I remember him being like, what if we don't do this? And then they don't listen. It goes down the rails.
You know, and that's what sucks is he's not the only one. Multiple of them damn kids are like, like there's a whole moment where every single one of them turns on her. And that's a great, good, thank God. Mm-hmm. When they do the block her, she's crazy. Yes. Yes. Right. You're completely correct. The first time you go to her house, she points a gun at a dude and has him strip. And you go back.
Hold on. Stay there for a second. That's my problem. The other thing I said is.
The pedophilia.
So this is back when I was doing my Letterboxd reviews were like pros and cons list.
Mm-hmm.
And my pros were Octavia Spencer's performance. And my cons was pretty much everything else.
Yes.
And I said this movie checked pretty much every box on the checklist of horror movie tropes that I hate. And one of those is outlandishly dumb characters who get themselves into a situation.
Yes.
From their stupidity and then stay in it beyond the point when you could have easily gotten out.
Yes.
This woman is like, hey, I can buy you drinks. You can come drink in my basement. Mm-hmm. That's already the end of the movie for me.
Yes. 100%.
If this woman is like, hey, come to my basement. I'm like, no, thank you. And then you go, okay, red flag one, blow right through that. And then you get to her house, middle of nowhere.
Yep.
Let's do it anyway.
Yep.
By the time she points the gun at the boy and is like, strip, nigga. She doesn't say nigga. But that's the vibe.
Yes.
And then it's like, ha, it's a prank, bro. No.
Mm-mm.
You don't need a place to hang out and drink that badly.
No.
Also, y'all live in this like small Midwestern town. Just go out into the field or the woods or whatever.
Which they were already going to do.
Right. You had a spot.
Or if you really want a place to do it, to be honest, the main girl's mom probably would have been okay with that. Depending on like if she could supervise it. If she could supervise it, I feel like she would have been okay. She was kind of trying to be a cool mom, but not to the point that Sue Ann was. So
yeah, they weren't doing nothing crazy.
I just feel like there were alternatives.
So many alternatives. And if there aren't, sorry guys, I guess we're just not hanging out and drinking tonight because I'm not going to this random middle-aged woman's basement. It's so ridiculous. There's so many ridiculous choices, but I will say this, I was never bored watching Ma.
No. It is extremely engaging. And there are some moments that I do think are legitimately like really fucking good. Like when the guy she used to have a crush on says like, oh, let's go out to get drinks, and then basically traps her in this public place to tell her that she's fucking nuts. Her. Like, that was awful, but I was like, oh, this is good. This is like, yeah, all right, okay.
And from his perspective, hey, Sue Ann, why have you been hanging out with my son and his friends?
Yes.
He's a teenager.
Yes.
You're grown. Why is my son going to your house?
Yes.
Understandable.
Completely reasonable.
Confront this woman.
Completely reasonable.
Yeah. They're reasonable people in the movie. Yeah. It's just most of the characters we follow are not them.
No, not at all.
It's so ridiculous.
It died. So and ridiculous. The fact that it's getting a sequel is my favorite thing in the world.
That's crazy.
Because I was looking it up and Octavia Spencer gave an update like a week ago and it wasn't much. It was like, yeah, we're really trying to make sure the script is working, but we're dedicated. We're going to do it. So like, it's still happening. So
okay,
I might need to fly back to California and go see that with you because I don't really care about the theatrical experience, but I want to go to a theater full of black people and watch that sequel.
Yeah. So I love going to the movies. It's a hobby of mine. In terms of like movies being enhanced by a theatrical experience, it's for me, comic book movies, which I forgot to bring up. The Spider-Man crowd was great. Nice. And horror movies.
Yes.
Especially bad ones like this.
Yes.
I have zero plans to watch the sequel to Ma. But
you're going to watch the sequel to Ma.
If you come back to town when it comes out, I will go to that theater with
you. I want
to
be in the dome in like IMAX when she brings out the white paint again. You know, like.
I need the 4DX.
No.
We don't. I need the 4DX.
No.
Yeah, I need the 4DX. Paint us all with white paint.
That made no sense at all because I saw no connection to her past. Also, the reasoning she gave. Like, yes, she happened to be the one black person that we saw in the past, but they weren't singling her out for being black from what I could tell. It was just that she was a nerd and really quiet and they could make fun of her.
No, it never comes up.
Well, why she suddenly is like, there can be only one Highlander? Like, what?
But yeah, when she paints that boy's face white, and says, there's only room for one of us. I think at that point, I was just sitting there like, I'm in too deep. I can't walk out now.
Oh,
like 7 minutes left in the movie. Why would I walk out? I have What a ridiculous movie. I'm so glad that we get to talk about it. Also, before we move on, when I was looking at Letterboxd, it shows you like other reviews that you've liked for the movie. And one of my favorite YouTubers, who I've shouted out on this podcast before, Toonrific Tariq. I guess, if I had to like fill in some context, he got his friends to watch this movie. And his Letterboxd review is just, I can't believe I convinced them to watch this. LOL, I can get them niggas to watch anything.
Yeah.
Can't
wait for the sequel.
That's my.
Like, what's it going to be?
Mama.
Nah, the gun is real this time.
What a movie.
You should do what Toonrific Victory did and just sit says we our friends down. I want to know what Demi thinks. I want to know what Malaya thinks. I want to know what Gabby thinks. I want to know.
They would never forgive me. I am, if I had to guess, 95% certain that Malaya has already seen that movie.
Ooh, okay. That makes sense.
Malaya's into horror.
That's true.
And black people.
Yep.
I feel like I wouldn't be able to get Demi to sit down because she's so horror averse.
This
but
one,
if I could,
as a horror movie, it's not
scary.
That bad. It's not. But I can, yeah.
To be honest, I'm trying to think of something in the movie that happens that even really designates it as much of a horror movie.
More of like a thriller?
Like she does kill people.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
The horror is that you watch the movie and you can't get the time back.
Honestly, yeah. Okay. Thank you for that. That was great.
Anytime.
Anything in the news that you're excited about?
Anything in the news? I mean, what happened in the news recently?
Entertainment news specifically.
We'll see. The problem is I can't talk about video games because nothing is good in video games. Everything is bad. No, everything is bad. It's this studio laid off people. This studio laid off people. Sony isn't going to be making discs anymore.
Crazy.
That one.
Crazy. And then, can we just talk about that?
I don't know. But I don't know if we did.
No, like, can we just talk about that?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Like, what are we doing?
I understand it. From a money perspective, I do. Because how many people are still buying discs? You'd be making them for collectors. You'd be making them for the people who want, I want the steelbook and I want the yada, yada, yada. But then you get into the digital rights issue of, cool, so I'm not going to own these things.
Exactly.
I'm going to buy a license to it and you can take it away at any time.
And for that announcement to come out right after a bunch of movies just got Thanos snapped off of their stuff. It's like, so you're going to tell me, hey, if you have any of these hundreds of movies, no, you don't. Yep. And then also, pretty soon, you're not going to be able to buy physical games anymore. Yep. It's just, it feels like they're just daring their customers to do something about it.
Well, that's the thing. What can the customers do?
Exactly. And they know that. So they're like, what are you going to do?
People have yelled about it.
Go get a Switch.
And they said, cool, we hear that you're yelling about it. We're still going to do it, though.
Right. You're still going to play PlayStation. And it sucks because they're right. I'm still going to play PlayStation. It's like when you take away my option, that's what I'm going to do. But that doesn't mean it's the thing to do. That's why we're upset.
Yeah, it's gross. And also, it's just like, so, okay, fine. I buy digital. What if I don't have a great internet connection? That install is going to take all day. Great. Cool. Thanks.
There's so many reasons why I would want to buy a physical disc. Like, I don't buy a lot of video games, but recently I bought the new WWE game before I stopped watching WWE because of how evil they are.
Oh, okay.
But I was deciding, do I want to go physical or digital? And I was like, I want to go physical for lots of reasons. But also, if I have a physical game and my friend has the PlayStation, I can go to his house with his disc and put it in.
And that is what's so frustrating, because there's an infamous E3 moment from when the Xbox One was announced, where originally it was not going to have a disc drive. And they announced it at E3 and they said it wasn't going to happen. And people were pissed. And so Sony, their presentation was after. And they were like, hey, so, you know, we want to talk about how you share games on Sony. And here it is. And they just had one person handing a disc to another person. And so many people have referenced that in the past few weeks because it's like, what happened? You use that to clown on Microsoft because they were being stupid and now you're following their lead?
Yeah, they're like, oh, we're better than them. Haha, we would never do that to you. Fast forward to a few years later. It's so very wet.
Yeah, I don't love the idea of not owning what I have paid money for. Like, I am buying.
Especially in a time when physical media is making a comeback because everyone's starting to realize we don't own anything that we get digitally. Like, people are going to buy Blu-rays and 4Ks and whatever you watch movies on now.
I've been buying vinyls. I don't give a shit about vinyl as a format. I actually think it's not as good as like some of the digital formats, but that's not the point.
Right. So then everybody's thinking, yeah, let's buy our physical media. Physical media's back. And Sony's like, in their best Sandy Cheeks voice, no, you ain't.
Because also, I believe that Sony prints like most of the Blu-rays that exist, I think. They do a lot of Blu-ray printing. Okay. Maybe I'm wrong. Are they going to stop doing that? Are we going to stop getting movies physically too? Because that's trash.
Yeah, that is trash. And I feel like once they feel like they can get away with that, they're going to do that immediately.
Yeah.
Because who would have thought they're not going to make game discs anymore in a couple of years? That's crazy.
Right. Though, to be fair, you could argue that we kind of saw this coming, because I remember I bought one of the more recent Wolfenstein games just like a decade ago, and it came with a disc. And the disc was just a Steam key. You put the disc in and it's like, cool, now you have this game on Steam.
Wow.
It's like, nigga, that's not... Yeah, it was garbage.
That's funny because I'm sure you heard that's what they've been doing with Grand Theft Auto.
I mean, I know that it's not going to have a disc at launch.
So what they're doing is like, you go to a Best Buy, GameStop, where people go to buy games, and there is a case there, but there's no disc.
Oh, right.
The case has a code in it. And I'm like, how dare you? How dare you niggas?
That is have disgusting. Me
go buy a box that doesn't have a disc in it.
It's an empty box with a slip of paper.
Are you crazy?
Fucking a fortune cookie paper. Like,
why am I going to the store to buy a box with a code? Like, just...
Right?
It's so goofy.
It's bad. It's bad and it's frustrating, and I understand that this was going to happen, but it still doesn't make it any better.
Yeah, we're
At
just.
least can, I mean, the problem is that we have more pressing problems than this, but can we get some like legislation that says you can't take it away from people once they have given you money for it?
Right. And with no plans to give them their money back either.
That too, yes.
Like, okay, if I bought
Either
something.
let them keep the thing or give them the money back.
Right. I bought this thing. I gave you money. You gave me the thing. If you take the thing, give me the money back. Don't just take the thing back. Now you have both.
Right.
Terrible times. John Sony, if I catch you in the street, that's your ass.
Is Kazurai still involved, or
It's John Sony.
I don't know, the president is Hiroki Totoki, who's the president, COO, and CEO, but he never talks. You never hear him say stuff. But there you go. He's your man.
AKA John Sony. All right.
AKA John Sony.
We got comments again. We got different opinions. 2 weeks in a row. Who would have thought?
Nice.
Yeah, it's never happened. All right, starting right off with Instagram. We have a comment on our Avatar Aang Instagram post from Laugh at Chasman, who is Chaz. He's worked with Demi. I've followed him. He's a comedian. Chaz
Oh, okay.
Rogers. Shout out to Chaz. Yeah, I guess I can actually say friend of the podcast. Love that.
Nice. And mean it this time.
Yes, and mean it this time. His comment is, why change the voices with like four angry face emojis? And I did respond to this comment from our account, but for those who don't know and are still wondering, it was a decision by the creators of the show and the casting director. They basically said, hey, we wanted to explore voices from the cultures that inspire these characters, which,
Wow.
yeah, makes sense. That's why it's not a bunch of white people this time. And I love that, especially because in recent years, animation has kind of been rehauled in a way where we looked at a lot of shows and movies and thought, hey, it's white people voicing everyone. Maybe not do that. So when they started making this movie, they thought, maybe let's not do that. It does not explain why Dante Basco's not back because, you know, he's Asian. But there you
Is
go.
he the right kind of Asian for Zuko?
I've heard that the Fire Nation is inspired by Japan. So, no, if that's the case. But when you get into like, okay, these are clearly Asian-based characters, but they are still fictional nations. I don't know how one-to-one you need to be in terms of countries. But yeah, that's the reason. They're like, we can't just have a bunch of white people voicing all these Asian kids. Another comment from Instagram on our Comic-Con post from another actual friend of the podcast and us, Justin. Justin,
Ah.
I don't really know how to say your Instagram name. Justin Ono, Justin On Around, Justin On, I don't know. Shout out to Justin. He says, Johnson, David Johnson, is so good in industry on HBO. I've heard that before. Haven't seen it, but I believe you because he's good in everything. David Johnson, don't miss. Shout out, Justin. Thanks for listening. Moving on to TikTok. Back to Avatar Aang. We have a comment from Bobby McDaniel. And the comment says, this story hasn't been told in Avatar, but it did feel like a little repeat of themes from the show, which did make it feel like another episode of the show.
That was basically to me, and
It
I would
was to you.
argue it has been told, but we can agree to disagree.
So which story specifically were you talking about when you said that this story has been told?
The entire first season of Legend of Korra.
Okay. So that's what I thought you were talking about.
And honestly, the third season, they kind of mixed those, put them in a blender.
And Zaheer's three, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I see what you mean, because Zaheer and Taga do feel very similar, and then the Denied are basically proto-equalists. But I see why this person would say it's different, because, you know, it's different enough in the terms of, like, we don't need to review that movie again. I see what you mean, Bobby. I like the movie either way. And that's different opinions. We did it.
Circling back, Dallas,
What's up?
the person you really want on the street is Herman Holst.
Herman
And I don't
Holst.
know why I didn't think of that, but of course it's Herman Holst because he's in charge of Sony's gaming division.
Okay, yeah. Herman.
So if you see average looking Dutch man on the street, shout out, hey, Herman. And if he looks up, it's on sight.
See, that's the thing. I don't want to lead with look for someone who looks Dutch. This starts to feel hate crimey.
That's fair.
On that note, let's end it there.
Yeah.
Thank you, audience, for listening to all of that. As always, thank you to Crown Digital, Brandon, and Io for putting us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. To me, thank you for editing, putting us on YouTube, coming back to us eventually, I assume. Mm-hmm. Cassie, thank you for tag teaming Spider-Man with me. Had a great time with you. What's up? What's the face? What's wrong?
You know exactly what the face is.
I said thank you. I'm being grateful.
Yeah, tag teaming Spider-Man just doesn't seem like something you'd be into.
I don't know what you're talking about. This is a podcast. We're just talking about doing a podcast. Sure. We're reviewing a movie. Yep. Anyway, audience, you can hit us in the comments or on Instagram and Tumblr at Creative Differences Podcast or Facebook.com/Creative Differences PC or TikTok at Creative Differences Pod. To be honest, I might just go ahead and delete the Facebook soon. Who's using Facebook like that?
That's fair.
There's a few of us, but like, what's the point? Anyway, if you want to talk to me about the absolute cinema that is Spider-Man Brand New Day, you can find me on Instagram or Letterboxd or Serialized at A King Named Simba.
You can actually talk to me about Spider-Man as well, but you specifically have to talk about the organic web jizz.
Mm.
You can find me on Blue Sky at Sassy Sits There.
What a way to phrase that.
I saw it in a review and I...
So for Demi and Gabby, no Blue Sky names today, but I can tell you where to find them. You can find Gabby in her room, treating herself to 19 inches of venom.
Good for her.
And you can find Demi with Black Widow showing feet.
Yep.
All right. It's been different. Bye.
Bye.
Important question for you. What do we call the sequel to Ma?
I was trying to think of that last night after we watched it. I think, okay, what could be really funny, and I don't think they would do it, call it Ma Homecoming and have all of your marketing riff on Spider-Man Homecoming.
That? I would kind of love that. I would kind of love that.
So I don't know what else you'd call. I feel like it has to be something with like Ma's home or something.
Yeah, something with Ma. Maybe something with Mommy if we want to get real weird.
I don't.
You don't want to get weird with weird. I mean, you're watching a Ma sequel.
That's fair.
Yeah, that ship is sailed. You're getting weird.
It's expected.
Octavia Spencer, if you're listening, let us know. Let us know what the sequel is going to be called.
You can have that idea for free, by the way.
Yeah. You can take Ma Homecoming and something with Mommy.